All right. So if you could just introduce yourself and what you do, and oh, thank you.
Yeah. First, thank you so much for having me on. So nice of you. My name is Cindy Lozito, and I currently identify as an illustrator and an art director. I've been doing this now on and off for the past 6 or 7 years now. And I am currently based in Philly.
Okay. And how is Philadelphia when it comes to the arts? I went there one time
It
and it
is.
was fun.
Yeah, you should come back. Philly is amazing when it comes to the arts. I feel like I am constantly in awe at the local art scene from both like very large scale. We have an incredible muralist community, which I love. Like all throughout the entire city, there's so many beautiful murals and people working on them ad hoc or as like groups of folks getting together to do things. And also on like sort of small scale ways. It's this is such a random example, but I think really illustrates what the art scene is like. There was an instance in COVID at some point, like a few months ago, where it's very common for people to do like those posters that you'll see on the side of a building or street. Like people just, I forget what that's called. It's like a certain type of paper.
Like glued posters?
Yeah, kind of like that, exactly. It's very common for people to do that in the city for all types of reasons. It could just be for something fun or funny. But a lot of folks banded together and did some beautiful, like mask up campaigns or encouraging people to get the vaccine or just like different health related stuff. And this advertising company, just I guess without thinking, like put their posters all over other people's posters in like throughout the city. And when people found out about this in Philly, they like then banded together to put even more artwork over those posters to cover them up or make fun of the company. And it was just like so classic Philly to see people come together and make light of situations that could be really irksome. So yeah, I love the vibe of the Philly art scene.
I can feel that though, because it's really chill too. And
Yes.
when I went, it was really cold, but I still had fun that day, so can't
Do you remember
imagine.
what you did?
Hang on, I think I have the postcard from it. There was, where did I go to? It was the Magic Gardens, and it was like
Oh.
this mosaic. I don't know if you could see it, but it was just like this
Yeah.
mosaic of glass. And I went with a friend that day, and after looking at that out, and it's like I said, it was cold, so I had like a coat on, but I'm freezing. But I'm like, this is amazing. And I like how they support also like self-taught artists who didn't go to like traditional art school. I think that's cool as well. And
Yes.
yeah, I went to like three museums that day. I can't remember which ones. But it was really fun that day. But it was cold. And in the beginning of the day, I was like, oh my gosh, why am I even here? It's Philly. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, but then after going, I was like, okay, I like this place. And I think I went to like a vintage store, and I ate a che I said to myself, I need a Philly cheesesteak. I don't even eat meat no more. But this was when I was eating meat, and I was like, I need a Philly cheesesteak. Like, this is like my signature stamp on my list to go to Philly and eat that, just because I need to eat that. So that was my trip.
Yes. Yeah, the Magic Gardens is really special. But yeah, it is an outdoor experience, so you will be cold when you visit if you go in winter. But yeah, it's very magical. I'm glad you got to go.
Yeah, it was fun. I should go back though. I gotta go back and make a trip up there. Like, if I go to New
Advocate
York,
for
just
this.
stop.
Yeah, that's a good idea on the way up, because it's not between New York as well, like it's not really that far.
That's why I'm gonna take a trip there. But also, as far as like creativity, so how did you like start out with your, this creative world, I guess? Would you say you were always an artist, like starting out, or did you kind of like just jump into it, like your background in this career field?
Yeah, so I feel like my journey has taken so many different directions. I did not always think I was going to do this. I think growing up, I did have some like natural curiosity about art. I was really into playing independently. So like I have a sister, but she's a little older than me, and when she would go to school, I was very content to just like play by myself and like construct Legos or draw pictures and other things, but I wasn't you know how sometimes in school you have that friend who's like the knockout artist? Like, that was not me.
Yes.
So, and then like, as I got older, I got really into academics and, you know, I was a very good student, but I think I was always just really curious about art. And it was often classes that either incorporated English or something visual that always just really struck me. But yeah, I really wasn't aware, even as a kid in New York City, which I, looking back, I think this is so wild. I really wasn't aware of what sort of career options were available. I didn't think about, like, if you look through a book and like see pictures that somebody, that's actually somebody's job, like that is like somebody's hired to do, or even in the realm of design and graphic design, like I never really made the connection. And so my goal in college was to just sort of do what I knew loosely as like visual studies. And I know some schools offer that as a major. I ended up actually getting accepted into a program called Macaulay Honors College. It's a program through the CUNY system in New York City. And essentially what they offer is a free ride for all 4 years. At the time that I was there, they were offering dorming for free for 4 years. They gave you a MacBook and then a $7,500 travel grant.
Damn. Which is, yeah, exactly. I'm like, I wish I had that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got really lucky because a recruiter had actually come to our school, and like a few of the students at high school who were top performers, we like got into this little room in the guidance counselor's office, and he like sat down and told us about his experience going to that school. I had never even heard of this program, and I applied, I think, like the last day that they were accepting applicants, and I got in. And so I saw that package. I saw what my like top schools were for something that was more in the realm of like liberal arts, sort of general visual studies fields. And I was like, I think I'm gonna have to take the free ride and just see what happens. So I took fine arts classes. I really wasn't drawn to that. I didn't like the sort of more heady and conceptual stuff from a making perspective, but I loved art history. So I studied art history and thought that I would become an academic when I graduated with my bachelor's. And then I just realized that I still really wanted to do something hands-on. Mm-hmm. And as I graduated, I got in touch kind of on a whim with some other creative women in New York City who had also recently graduated and were just trying to get their footing in the city in all different fields. Like some were musicians and others were, you know, budding filmmakers and photographers, you know, like you name it, these women were doing that thing. And realized that when you're new in New York City and trying to make it as a creative, it's hard to find community, and it's really hard to figure out like what to do with that. And so I didn't, at that time, was just sort of like doodling. Like toward the end of college, I would like draw my friends and had like a Tumblr of just like some sketches. Again, just like really not knowing what I was doing, but just felt that I wanted to be making something. I got in touch with these creative women, and soon this like sort of small gathering that was a dinner turned into this collective, and they were having events and holding workshops, and they needed somebody to make posters. And I was like, you know, I had a, you know, design blog or like a fashion street style blog in high school. I kind of remember Photoshop. I want to make these posters. And then from there, I just sort of like tumbled into a design career that started from something that was freelance and is now something like, and by freelance, I mean like any little gig that I can get on top mm-hmm. of some sort of more stable part-time jobs. And now it is something I think much more fleshed out than when I started.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like very interesting though. It's like how you can grow from just little projects.
Yeah. I don't feel like I don't take enough time to remember like how crazy that was in the beginning when I really didn't know what I was doing, but just trying to follow what looked good to me. Like this sounds interesting, or you know, this is something I'd really like to do. And yeah, it just like tumbles into something bigger.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say like inspires you to, you know, create in general, just artwork? Like, yeah. Would you also say you have a certain style or no?
I think that I have slowly developed a style. I feel like in the beginning, that was something that like, I know a lot of people feel this way too. And I very much felt this way. I really wanted to figure out what my style was right away. I didn't know what that was. And I think now, just from practicing a lot, I have slowly developed something that I'm like, you know what, I'm seeing a line between these things that I create, even if they all look really different. As far as what inspires me, I feel like people really inspire me. A lot of my work incorporates people. I have always loved living in a city. I grew up in New York, and now I'm living in Philly, and I just love being around different types of people and seeing their outfits or haircuts, and just like loving what people have to offer. So I think people are probably my biggest inspiration.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very powerful, though. Shout out to you, because I'm looking at your artwork too, and I'm just like, this is so like energetic, and I could see like a lot of personality in it, and I love it so much. And I don't know, I'm sitting here, I'm like, I want to practice more with illustration, just because like as a designer, it's one struggle I've always had is like not being able to like draw perfectly, you know, because I wasn't that kid. Also, that wasn't the, you know, the known art kid. I just, people knew I did art, but I wasn't like the top number one artist in my school. But like drawing has always been a struggle for me, and I've been trying to like doodle and do little things just to practice my illustration work. But yeah, how would you like, do you have any advice for someone who is like trying to, you know, grow their illustration, I guess, technique or skill?
Yeah, totally. I really resonate with that, because I know I felt the same way. And sometimes too, like even I draw every day, but sometimes like I have that moment where I'm like, wait, I feel like I don't remember how to draw. Like, it's just, like you like have that weird moment in your head. But yeah, I mean, I would say consistency and practice is helpful. And I know that's the least fun answer to that question. but I guess like, and this is me knowing myself, and I know this might be different for other people, but I work really well knowing that I have a deadline, or I have something that I'm working toward. So if I just told myself like, oh, I really kind of want to do this thing, like I want to draw like flowers every day, I'm probably not going to do that. But if I say like, I want to draw 3 flowers a week, and I want the color palette to only be purple and orange, then I think the more, it's weird, but I think the more limitations you have, the more you can really hone in something, and you can sort of build something bigger from having a smaller selection of things. It's very overwhelming, I think, to look at a page and say like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to do something, and I hope it's beautiful. And, you know, you start already to put all these things on yourself. But if you have a limited set of ideas, it can help you get started, I think, a little bit, but with a little more consistency.
Mm-hmm. That's actually true, to be honest, because I say to myself, I can draw every day. And I'm just like, and at the end of the day, I'm like, shit, I didn't pick up a pencil today.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's true.
Physically, you definitely can draw every day, but it's true. Like, you just, things get in the way, or you forget or whatever. And even if you like block out a time in your calendar or something, like sometimes I do that. I'm really into making to-do lists. I'm a pretty scattered person, I would say. Like, I think I thrive in like organized chaos. So like I have a lot of stuff floating in my head, and I kind of know like what needs to get done, and it might get done at its own pace, but it's definitely going to get done. But I really thrive off of a to-do list. And if I can like get that down to like, you know, whatever my day job may be, and then the things that I really want to do for myself, I'm more likely to do it if I see it in front of me on a little list every day.
To be honest, it's me. An organized chaos. That just sounds like define me, because yes. I love that too. I love planning, highlighting, time blocking. That is my thing. And then it's like I have moments though I'm like, this didn't work because this is like going crazy. But it's like, okay, it's fine. I push to the side. So yes, I understand that portion. Trust me.
Yes, big mood.
But also going into the struggles.
Yeah.
So on this podcast, I ask this question to every, you know, creative, every designer. What do you struggle with as a creative?
Yeah. So I feel like the answer to that question has really changed with like each sort of step that I've taken in my career. I think when I started, I identify as somebody who's self-taught. I think for me and a lot of folks who are in that boat, you feel a lot like you don't always know what you're missing. Like you feel like, what do I need to know? What is it that other people who maybe have a similar career or who are not self-taught, like what do they know that I don't know, and how can I fill in those gaps? Sometimes it feels like a chip on your shoulder, and other times it's literally like you need to, you know, find somebody that you can talk to, or take a continuing ed course or something like that. So yeah, in the beginning, it was tough seeing those blocks of what I needed to work on, and figuring out how to get there. There's also, I mean, now it's a few things. I would say finding a balance between work. So I do work a day job, and then I also work on my own creative things, which I find just really fuels me and keeps me excited about what I do. But balancing those things with having a life, mm-hmm. you know, <Yes. laughs> you know how it is. It's wild. Like, you have to take care of yourself and hang out with other people. And I really do believe too, you can't fill from like an empty well, you know, like if you're not taking care of the other things, your creative work is going to suffer. And then if you're not noticing that you're not taking care of those other things, then you're berating yourself because you're not feeling creative, you're not feeling inspired. And it's like, well, wait, how much sleep did you get last night? Like, are you drinking water?
Yes.
Did you hang out with friends?
Oh my God, yes. I think I've said this on a podcast, like the importance of like life, work to life balance is very important. Like, you have to check in with yourself and your health, especially being a designer creative, because when you're in this in mode, you're like, work, work, work. I'm getting work done. I'm productive. And then you say, pause. Did I eat today? Or pause. Yeah. Did I drink water today? And you're like, shit, I didn't do that. Let me get my life together.
For sure. And I think also even to add on to those things, like the creative realm and like taking care of yourself realm, there's also like the beast of the internet and social media, and both keeping yourself focused so that you can continue to create and cultivate those channels, but also, you know, towing the balance between respecting and uplifting your community and remembering that their journey is not your journey. So, mm-hmm. you know, I have a lot of incredible like artist friends that I look up to, and I love their work, and I get so excited seeing the things that they do, but I can't let that fall into like, oh, like how do they get that thing? And how come I don't have those things? And you can't let yourself get overwhelmed by those feelings. So it's a lot. There's too much to balance, I think, in like the year 2021 as a creative.
Yes, it's a handful. And it's like, I had that phase too, where it came to like comparing myself. I'm like, oh, this person has, and it had nothing to do with like, not just like followers on Instagram, but it's like, this person has so much exposure. Or, why am I not doing this? I work all the time. Or why does this person have this? And it's not like I'm hating on them. It's like, I'm hating on myself. Like, why am I not at that level? But it's like, everyone's growth is different, and everyone has like a certain time where certain things happen. So you can't like rush the time and rush the process. So yeah, I had to learn that too. Trust me.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, to counteract those feelings, I find that the more I actually have face-to-face like conversations with people who are maybe in that boat, that are like, wow, you have a ton of followers, or, you know, you have a career that is really admirable from the outside, the more that I actually like talk to those people, the more things become so much more illuminating. Like, I know one of my sister's friends, really talented illustrator, I love what she does. I remember like a year or two ago, we had this conversation. She has since worked at the beast of growing your follower account. But by the time we were talking with each other, she had like a modest, but you know, what do you call it? Like a focused community of people, but nothing, I mean, not like, you know, 100,000 followers or anything. But she told me how much money she was making. And she told me how much she knows like other folks with these larger follower accounts were making. And she's making quite a lot. And some of the folks who were, you know, with a huge following, where she was aware we're not making as much, or we're not getting the same types of opportunities. And it can sometimes feel like an illusion mm-hmm. of what success or popularity looks like versus the lived reality of somebody, or the amount of hours they're putting in. And they may also be feeling the same thing or worse of like, I'm so overwhelmed by how much I have going on that it's hard for me to maintain a healthy work-life balance. So you just never really know what's going on the other side of a, you know, an Instagram account. So mm-hmm. I always love talking to people and just like gleaning from their knowledge and remembering that we're actually all people behind this. It's very easy to forget.
Yeah, it's true. You could have 10K, but dude, are you making money? that's something I read too. And it's like, you have to try to connect with people. I think having a community base is very important, hence this mm-hmm. podcast. But like growing a community, I feel like that is a lot more valuable. And like having genuine people who care about you or care about your art, I think that is like that's what people should focus on more, rather than just like, let me try to just get all these people to look at my work. But it's like, let me focus on the people who care about my work. And yeah, that's something I had to like learn and realize too.
Totally, yeah. And like the people who are here and what, like how you can do wonderful things for them or give away freebies and stuff, you know. And also wonderful to have like people in your corner that you know you can trust and who will keep it real with you. If, you know, if you do something whack or if you know, need feedback on something, it's nice to have folks who will be real with you.
Yes, because that's when I feel like I'm trusting people too. I need those friends in my life to tell me when I'm fucking up. Like,
Yeah.
listen, sis, you need to chill out. Like, I need those are real friends, because those are the ones that they're gonna tell you, like, okay, bro, this ain't you. So yeah.
Yes, it's so true. I value those people the most.
And as far as like being a self-taught artist, I remember you saying like that was a struggle. How has that, like, because me personally, I can't say I'm a self-taught artist, but I can also imagine, like, growing up, that's kind of what I felt like having those gaps to fill as far as trying to, like, what am I missing? Like, how did you like overcame that struggle too, as far as like
Yeah.
figuring out your way as a self-taught artist?
Totally. So, a few things happened that I think really helped build my confidence. One of those things was that some people along the way took a chance on me. So, when I was doing freelance graphic design, I had a couple of clients who essentially had their own studios and would reach out to me for either production design needs or branding stuff. And so it was an awesome gig because I didn't have to, you know, speak directly with clients. They mostly did that and then outsourced work to me. But it also meant that whatever crossed their desk, they might swing my way and say, like, hey, would you want to do something like this? So I had a few clients in that realm who needed custom illustration for some branding stuff. And I would just say yes to that and just sort of like work my way through. And I think that also goes back to this, you know, like getting started to what I do and setting up deadlines for yourself. I mean, like I literally had a deadline. I was getting paid to do this and it had to get done at a certain time. And so learning how to just like start drawing stuff and like do your best and see what happens. And then seeing that, you know, their perspective of the work that I gave in was so different from mine. Like when you start, you're like, man, this is crap. And then they're like, this is amazing. I love it. Like it just
Yes,
is
the world is just.
they're on a totally different wavelength than like whatever your inner critic is telling you. So yeah, that was helpful. And then I think one thing that has been useful and I can give credit to my current job helping me with this. So my current job is very illustration heavy. I have to do a lot of illustrations per week, which is at times really challenging, but I love it because it forces you to sometimes you have to hand in things that you're like, this is good. It's not my favorite work, but it has to get done and it has to get posted. And it gives you the opportunity to look back and say, you know, here are the things that I did in the past 6 months. What do I feel like I need to improve on? Like I've had my current job for 2.5 years. The work that I did in like my first couple of months to the work I do now, I'm like, I draw hands differently. Like I do, you know, like things slowly evolved because you start to pay attention to stuff and see where you can improve and put in like a little bit of extra time to really work out something that isn't working anymore. Like hands, I think are a specific example where I'm like, this just doesn't look right. This isn't looking right. I have to go and rework it. And that means you have to put in the extra tedious, you know, 15 minutes or something. But then you learn something. We're like, oh, wow, okay. It was this little line that wasn't working out. And you carry that on with you to the next. So it's tricky, I think, when you're self-taught. Like I've taken some classes here and there, but it really is, it's like practice. And sometimes, you know, something else that somebody has mentioned to me that I have occasionally done is what she calls a master study. So if you like look really, really, really close at a painting or the work of somebody else, and I also feel like I need to preface this by saying like this isn't work that you publish because like what you're trying to do is replicate what you're seeing, and that is plagiarism if you post that. But for your own sake of trying to understand like how somebody does something and trying to like work out those lines in similar ways, you might learn that they have done something differently than how you would do it, and maybe carry inspiration of that into the work that you currently do.
I think that's very powerful too.
Yeah, I really do love this idea of like we are a community and we should try to learn from each other where we can, and, you know, and help each other out, because it's not, I feel that way in so many ways, not just in the technical component, but in the business side. Like, you know, if you get a client that you're like, oh, I've never worked with this client, but I know somebody who has, let me message them and say like, hey, how much did they pay you for that? Or like, what did their contract look like ahead of time? It can really prevent you from lowballing yourself, or just like getting a sense of what's on the table, making sure that you know what's up and what to negotiate for. There's so many ways that we can learn from each other instead of being in our little caves and pretending like we know everything.
Yeah, that's trust me, that I know that sense. Cause the thing is, when it comes to like reaching out to podcast guests, you forget that like some designers aren't, because there's a lot of creatives that are willing to talk, they're very open with this open personality, but then there's some creatives, it's like they're still in their little bubble and they don't like to be disturbed. So I think I've had a couple like podcast guests, like you could feel that, and I could sense that with recording. I'm like, it's okay, it's fine. And it's like, it's kind of getting out of your shell, but it's like the fact that people are willing to like get out the shot, I appreciate it. But I think being more open, and that's something I had to struggle with too, as far as like putting myself out there as a designer and saying I am a designer, like that can be really hard at first. But when you start to open yourself up to like opportunities, and you're willing to meet people, willing to talk to creatives, that's when you start to feel like warm and welcome in this community, just because like you have a sense of what's going on or what people go through, and you feel like together, and not all the way together, because like no one feels you. I feel like I connect more with the fact that people or other designers don't have everything together. Yeah. And that makes me feel so much better, because I'm like, okay, I don't have everything together, but now I feel better now that you don't have everything together, because it's normal.
Yeah, no, I think that's so real. I feel like you touched on a few things that I think are really powerful. One being like owning your title, whatever that is. Like, I'm a designer and I'm an illustrator. Like, you know, if you're doing it, you're not an aspiring that thing. Like, you are that thing. And I think that's a big difference. And it makes you feel more like you inhabit that role, because you do.
Yes.
But I think also like, yeah, it's a lot of people have it together or don't have it together in varying ways. And I agree. Like when I talk to folks that I admire, I'm always like really amazed at some of the struggles they have that I didn't expect, or that like I also share. And yeah, it helps to take away that facade. And it does suck when you meet people who seem really guarded and you're like, oh, okay, all right, bye. I feel like you couldn't have like a real conversation with them. But you know, it's something you like store in the back of your head, and then find other people who are not going to be like that. And it's all a learning process.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And as far as like being an art director, I kind of want to ask questions about that too. Like, because I remember going to school and like they would bring art directors, and like everyone wants this position. Like, I want to be an art director. I want to be art. So how is the actual position like, as far as like work life, you know, your day to day, like how is it like?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. I feel like the title of art director really shifts based on where you are working and applying that title. Mm-hmm. So I think that in my situation, it is a little unique compared to what I have heard this looks like for other folks. So I am currently working, I work at a company called Health Union, and essentially they create online communities for people living with different health conditions. It's a really amazing company. They help provide community for folks and make sure that they don't feel as alone with a painful diagnosis or living with a certain condition that maybe a lot of people in their outside of the internet lives just cannot empathize with in the same way as people who are living with it. So as far as what I do, I create editorial illustrations for them. So for each of these online communities, they essentially act as their forums, and they have different, you know, featured hubs with content. But we have people who are living with these conditions write articles to describe what is, you know, what it's like to live with that condition or other concerns. And I illustrate for those articles. And then we also have like several other campaigns. We might do like infographic data, or there's like currently a new project that has gone on in the past year that describes like patient-specific perspectives that incorporates animation. And so it is, it's super illustration heavy, but I, as an art director, I have the ability, the power, if you will, to dictate how everything looks. So I don't, even though I, you know, I pass on my illustration, my work, my design work to my manager, she might give me feedback based on clarity of a concept, but I get to decide exactly how I want an entire campaign to look, from like, you know, what the concept is going to be, the font, the color palette, everything. And so in a way, it's really, it's awesome. Like, I mean, I've worked in like a graphic design capacity, like as I mentioned, in that freelance way with, you know, a studio or a client, and they very specifically tell you how things look, and you, you know, make it look within that realm. And that's like also a power of a designer, is you have the talent and the skill to do a lot of different styles that would, you know, that are specific to a client's needs. But yeah, it's very cool from the art directorial sense to be able to dictate how that whole thing is going to look like, and also work on it from like the, you know, like most minute design level and make it work.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to also ask this, because I think I always ask this to like art directors in particular, like with the pressure that goes within that, like, do you ever feel like overwhelmed? I mean, okay, you probably obviously feel overwhelmed, but I'm saying in that sense where you have to like handle so many things, how are you able to handle that? Like work with this person, work with that person, like just a team. I can't imagine.
Totally. So I can answer that in a couple of ways. At my full-time job, I have to say that my department does an incredible job of really vouching for us and supporting us. Very rarely will they allow creative pushback, and they essentially say like the creative team knows what they're doing, and unless you have a concern that that is really specifically about will people understand this, or, you know, for example, I work on some communities that have visual triggers, and that is a real thing. Like you don't, you know, you don't want somebody to not be able to interact with imagery because it triggers their disease, right? Like that would be terrible. So unless it's something related to that, we have the say. But I don't feel pressure at my job. Like, I think at least in that way of like, oh, like what are people gonna think, or will people be happy with this? I think that my pressure and how I guess maybe both the job is structured, but also like how I am as a person is just with myself. Mm-hmm. Like, have I done a good job with this? Like, is this more interesting or innovative than the last time I did something similar? How am I continuing to like push what I'm doing and make it even better or learn something different? And you know, it's just like the thing, right? Like we are our own harshest critics, but I do feel that way the most, is like, how am I continuing to innovate by myself? But yeah, so from the freelance perspective, and presenting, or like presenting a concept or ideas, I think my biggest advice is to practice what you are going to say. I have loved working remotely and presenting things from afar, because I can have all my things up and nobody has to see that. So yes. Like, I'll have my little script on the side with everything I want to say. I rehearse it to my dog. Like, I just do, I do everything I have to do to make sure that I am presenting in the best way possible and being confident. And also leaving a lot of pauses. I think there's a tendency when you're presenting work, or, you know, when you have a lot of stakeholders looking at something, to try to fill those awkward gaps as you're presenting things and letting them sit with your work. And it's really nice to just say like, I'm going to stop and let them say what they want to say, and not be like, yeah, okay, so if you don't like this though, I have like three other things that I can show. Like, no, like let it live on its own.
Yeah, I was about to say, ask you questions about that too. Like, how do you gain confidence within like your work? Like, it's so hard. I think even I can make all this shit. Everyone can say it's beautiful, and it's like, damn, is it? Is it really?
Totally. I think confidence, like for me at least, I think it takes a lot of time. You don't like come out the gate. Like, I mean, some people do, and I love those people who are just immediately like, I'm the shit, I'm the best, and that's what it is. I think like telling that to yourself is important. Like you can't exude that unless you can look at something and just say, like, I did a good job on this. I think we're so used to, you know, even what I just said, right? Like I constantly want to do what's the next good thing? Like what's the next innovative thing? But appreciating the stuff that you have done, and especially with the more time that you have worked on stuff, like take that time to look back at your previous work and see how you've grown and say, like, hey, like, yeah, I want to honor the first things that I did because I'm proud that I took the time out of my day to work on something when I could have just not. But also to say, like, this evolved and I can see like where my skill has grown because I have put in the time and the effort to do something. I think self-appreciation is a big way to feel more confident. And also, to be honest, when you get to work with more and more people and you see a lot of people who don't have their shit together, who are performing and maybe have a higher like role or, you know, have more experience than you do. And you're like, but wait a second, I think I know more. Mm-hmm. You start to realize, like, I think it might be like Michelle Obama who said that like a surprising amount of people are like not as smart as you think. And she's right. Like I do feel that way. You do often know more than you think. It's good to be a sponge and absorb things and be humble where you need to be. But I think it helps to remember that you've got this when you're struggling with confidence, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to remind myself that, like, it's not the end of the world. Like, you got this. And I feel like having more confidence in yourself can also, like, help balance not just in your artwork, but in, like, everyday life, too. It's like, when you start to love yourself and, you know, you appreciate the person you are, you start to, like, you know, I feel like everything starts to become more balanced.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think also even too, like, if you have something going on and you flub it, like, it's okay. You know, it's stressful and you're probably going to feel really stressed.
Yes.
But, you know, take a moment, take a beat. If you can feel upset about it, try to think about how you can learn from that. And then the same thing too, like, if you have people in your life who will be real with you, you can ask them for feedback. Where could I have done better? You know, but it's a long journey.
Trust me, yes. But I think also appreciating feedback is important too. Cause like sometimes like I get critique on work, and especially when you're in art school, every single day it's like, what did you do that's this and this? And what do you have to fix on? And at first I was like, damn, this is harsh. But then as you grow, you're like, okay, this is actually helping me though. And it's beneficial. And I feel like taking feedback in a way where it's like, you're accepting it and everyone's opinion is different, but not like, you know, blaming yourself and putting yourself down, but seeing it from like a positive perspective, like it's going to help you in your way going, I guess, with your career. Yeah,
totally. Feedback is complicated because it can be super useful and helpful to like take that in. But sometimes you get conflicting feedback and you have to figure out like what you want to do with that. I always think too, when you're in a position to give feedback, how important it is to also try to give as much positive feedback as you can too, because mm-hmm. it's easy to look at something and see like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. But you also want to tell whoever that person is like, this, you did a really cool job with this. Like, this looks good in this and this in this way. Cause I think as humans, we are sort of hardwired to focus on the bad.
Yes.
And we like stick with that. And so people, you know, and it's like, I feel like you see this a lot in social media too. You'll have hundreds of people over the time that you might be on an app tell you really wonderful things about your work. But what do you remember? You remember like the troll who commented something mean that sticks with you forever. So try to like, you know, remember the positive stuff and give positive feedback where you can, you know, and being honest about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm going to wrap up with this because it's going to be like too soon and I don't want to like ruin any of your time. But is there anything like particular you want to talk about? Anything that you had questions about? Anything like that?
Yeah, I'm curious to know. It's been a while since I've been in school and I'm curious to know like what has been inspiring to you? What have you been working on in class or freelance or, you know, whatever other fun projects you're working on that has been interesting to you?
Ooh, I feel like what's been in, ooh, that's a good question. I love asking people what is a good question just because now you get put on the spotlight. But I don't know, as far as like, and it's funny, I'm looking at these like stupid stickers I've been making. Figuring out my artistic like purpose in a way, and not like art style or anything like that. Like, who do I want to create for, or what are the things that I want to create? And, you know, how is that going to reflect with the people that I want to support? And another like fun like things I've been doing as far as fun things, like I've been making these like stickers, right? And they're cuss words in Spanish, and even though it sounds really like stupid, I feel like having that fulfillment of doing things that are fun for me and having the fun in art still and not being so focused on like because everybody in art school is like, I want a job, I want a studio job, I want this, I want that. But I think going back to like being an artist and remembering like how you started out and then still creating artwork, I feel like that's kind of what inspires me, is like, you know, like what made this fun for you in the first place? And just having fun with it. And I still make collages. I still do all these things. And I think I'm going to just keep doing it because that's the fulfillment I still have with creating this work. So that, I would say like that kind of inspires me. And also like supporting people who are, you know, like me, and supporting other designers who struggle, I guess. Like, I feel like that has kind of been helping me with my fulfillment of like life in general, and also my work.
I love that answer.
Yes.
It's so real. There's mm-hmm. so many different things. It doesn't have to be just one thing that inspires you.
Like, yes. That's the thing too. I'll ask people this question, like, I asked you, like, what inspires you? And their reaction is like, what do you mean? Like, it's so true though, because it's like there's so many things, especially like when you're an artist, you can indulge in life and in everything, and everything can inspire you in a way. But it's like, how does that, what do you take with that inspiration and how do you move forward with that? I think that's like the biggest thing for me.
Yeah. You touched on something that has been sort of like swirling in my mind recently. I went to this virtual conference for one of the panel was about changing careers or finding a dream job, which like, don't we all want to know? And she had mentioned when she was at a crossroads and like really didn't know what she wanted to do, that she just tried to remember what she really liked to do as a kid and like see if there was something that, you know, still rings true today that might kind of fit that description. And I guess that's, you know, if you're in a rut, it's nice to think about like, well, how can I bring this back to like feeling more playful? I love your stickers of the Cosmos in Spanish. They're fantastic.
It's fine.
Yeah. I think though that playfulness really like shines through them and why they're so special, because I can tell you had fun making them. So
that's the thing too. It's like, even though it's real, like it's like, oh my Lord, like I'll put them in my house and I would just stick it on something or put it on someone. And they're like, oh, you're funny, huh? You're funny today. I was like, yeah. And I don't know. It's just, it's like a fulfillment project that's going to keep going with me just because it's like, I don't know. I have fun with it. This shit's funny. It makes me laugh. Like, why is it so bad? Like, everything doesn't need to be, and that's this whole thing with me. Everything doesn't need to be like high top professional. Like, this is my life. My life is perfect. Like, everything can be like messy. It could be funny. It could be stupid. Like, that's just life though.
Yes. And that's why. I love that.
I wish people understood that too. Like, just have fun with your work. That's what's going to make your work, you know, more exciting, is, you know, having fun with it.
Totally. I think that's also something I've been thinking about a lot lately too. Like, you know, as I've been thinking about how I also love keeping personal projects outside of work. And sometimes I'll have moments where I'm like, all right, got to do this thing. Like, you know, three times this week after work, I got to work. And it's like, wait a second, I'm not having fun doing that. And if I'm not having fun, it's not worth it. Like, who am I doing that for? Right. So I think it really helps to remember, like, if you're having a miserable time, it's not worth it.
Exactly. You have to tell that to yourself.
Yeah, so true.
Okay. And I might ask like this final question. So do you have any advice for any creatives that are probably going through the same things, you know, that you probably struggled with in the past or now or anything like that?
Yes. I think that I have a few. Ask questions. Ask people questions. When I was, I had freelance for a bit before I did that, I was working a dead end temp job, trying to figure out what was next. And like the path ahead looked very dark, I'll tell you that. And I was just cold sending emails to people, like literally, you know, as an example for like SVA, I was looking through like SVA's directory, trying to find professors who were currently working. And just emailing them like, hey, I really want to do this. Like, this is when I was living in New York. I was like, can I take you for coffee for 20 minutes and just like ask you about XYZ? And I really felt that the generosity of other people's time really helped me realize, one, that I was not alone. Two, that people are sometimes nicer than you think. Sometimes they will ghost you, but sometimes they will not. And that what you have left to do is possible. Like a lot of, you know, sometimes at that time like my very dinky, you know, like printer paper portfolio along. And so like, this is what I've got. And they would, you know, tear it apart or, you know, give me some really helpful feedback, which they didn't have to do. Like some people pay quite a lot of money for a portfolio review, but ask what you don't know is one really big piece of advice I would give. Practice where you can and make that practice fun. Like, again, don't try not to focus on things that make you miserable, but, you know, see if you can challenge yourself with something that you find exciting to start building up a portfolio. You can't get hired for something that is not there in your portfolio. That's a real thing. Like, but for a while I had really wanted work in certain fields, and it was like, they're just not going to hire you if they don't see that you can do that thing. So try to make that thing for fun. And be good to yourself. You know, like really do try to take care of yourself. Give yourself the permission to zone out and watch trashy TV for, you know, a few days, because that is okay. and talk to other people who have absolutely nothing to do with your career or the industry that you want to get into, to remind yourself that that is not the only important thing in the world. It does wonders for your mental health and self-esteem.
Yeah, I think that was very powerful, especially for me too. Like, I'm trying to look for a job, look for an internship, look for this. And I feel like I've been struggling as far as like trying to, you know, do portfolio, cold email, do this. And I think this is kind of this part of the process. Even if people don't get back to you, and if people do, like, you have to just, you know, keep that confidence and like keep moving.
Yeah, it's so true. Just keep, that's also such a great piece of advice. Just keep moving. Like, yes, you should sit it out every once in a while if things get really hard, but you just got to keep going and something will somehow serendipitously work out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And all right, so I'm gonna wrap up this podcast because I know everybody's busy. But hope you guys listen to the next podcast and tune in, and always remember to do what your art desires.